was watching a television program on the History Channel a little while ago, and it was a scientific rendition of the elasticity of time. I was fascinated. Time in our universe does not move at the same rate. Even closer to Earth, the satellites, the network of satellites that comprise what is possible for our GPS systems to work, have to constantly make minute corrections, because in space, in that orbit, time moves at a different rate. And if it were to continue uncorrected, eventually the GPS and all of those directional seeking and aiding mechanisms would be out of whack. It also said that time moves ever so slowly, ever so much more slowly, when it encounters large masses. So, for instance, they would measure those who live, for instance, or are for a time inhabited the base of the Sphinx of Giza, and those some kilometers away. And in minute capacities, they would see that time is slower, closer to huge masses. Is that incredible? I found it interesting. Maybe you don't. That's okay. We come today, at this first Sunday in Advent, to acknowledge that we mark time differently. It is not so new, really, when you think of it, that people change the framework for time in different ways. We change our fiscal period, not January to December, maybe it's September to May. We mark time in different ways. When we proclaim the season of Advent that we are starting over again, that cycle of listening and responding, of experiencing and engaging with the world, the ways of God, we are saying we need this in order for us to reground ourselves and to be in step and in tune with God's will. We do it as a community. We do it as a people of faith. Now, time and times, don't want to make too large a distinction. Some of us can use the term, that was a very difficult time in my life, making reference to a historical moment. Or we can talk about the times. These are really, really difficult times right now. We look around our world, North and South Korea, on the brink of something cataclysmic, it would seem, if there's not some kind of course correction, some kind of intervention. The day after an assassination attempt in the election proceedings leading up to the elections in Haiti have people on edge. These are perilous times. The two scriptures that I wanted to lift up in conversation with each other, the gospel and the scripture from Isaiah, speak to each other and speak to us both as individuals and as a community of faith and as a world about how are we to engage time and times, whatever they may be, when they occur, or how we experience them. We can bring the matrix of our own personal turmoil and strife and difficulties to this message. We can bring the times of the world and the occurrences that are taking place to this message. There's a word of hope for all times, all experiences. It may seem foolish to many. It's not the first time people of faith, people of a different way, would be called foolish. It was T.S. Eliot who wrote that the end is where we start from.
We shall not cease from exploration, and the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started and know the place for a first time. This is not the first time we are celebrating Advent, but yet we come to it afresh, hoping to receive again the inspiration and the call and the stamina to live as God would have us for these serious times, for these times in which we find ourselves. Isaiah lifts up a huge vision, a vision that may seem so unrealistic. After having challenged the people in chapter 1 for the sin and the infidelity and the ways in which they have abandoned the covenant of God, here he lifts up a vision of what could be possible. The vision is of a time when people will stream all from around the world, all nations, to the Mount of Jerusalem. They would come because they want to hear and understand and learn the ways of peace. It is in so coming, in speaking and talking and walking with each other, that they begin to discover that the things that separate them need to be adjudicated not by each other, but by God. We're told that God will judge between the nations. God will establish how they have been unfaithful or have not kept covenant with humanity. God would be the one who arbitrates what is just, what grievances need to be addressed. But in so doing, it is not destruction and calamity that will result from that judgment. It is transformation. For these nations that we have today, nations in the future, nations indeed will no longer study war, no longer figure out ways, ingenious and otherwise, on how to destroy each other in the world. These nations are going to transform their instruments of violence into instruments of cultivation and life. Impossible, you say? Not likely? With all visions and visionaries, there is held up an invitation to imagine what could be possible. So much so that the words of this particular text, similar to those that are found in Micah, are engraved in a building very close to the United Nations. It is not accidental, for as nations stream to that building to consider the issues of the world that need their attention, they walk by those words. In the gospel lesson, Matthew records Jesus cautioning his disciples to be ready for the way in which the Son of Man comes. The way and sudden way in which this Son of Man comes. Now, this particular text has suffered great violence. Some of you will be familiar with a particular way of interpreting this that was made popular by a television series and a set of books called Left Behind. And it seems as if the text indeed would support such literature, such cinema. I have no doubt in my own belief that there will come a time in the future when this Christ of God will indeed move to bring all things together, woven in the purposes of God. But I feel that to focus only on that is not only to do injustice to this particular text, but also to the full breadth of the New Testament and the teachings of Jesus. I do not feel we have to wait for a time in the future for us to experience and respond to the coming of Christ. It will not, in my view, or the popular view, be sort of the second coming, the birth, and then this coming. Because what that does is vitiate, it moves to the side all the ways in which Christ comes now, every moment of every day. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. I will come to you in the midst of your worship. Christ has come today. Right here, right now, in our midst. The question is whether our hearts and our minds and our spirits are open to receive. We do not want anyone to leave this place today left behind. It is into your hearts and your life that this Christ comes to offer hope. It is into this world, in this context, on this day, in the situation that we have, not only in the future or the past, that Christ comes to offer hope. What is the message of hope that can inspire the nations of South Korea and North Korea to talk together, to walk in the path of peace? What message of hope is there for the northern part and the southern part of Sudan as they also move to a dangerous time in that country's life? What is the word of hope to the people of Haiti? I believe that when we become so future-focused, we abandon the responsibilities of the present. It is that vision that inspires us. Similarly, in our own personal lives, it is not that we have to wait until some destined time in the future to experience God's healing and grace. It is now. The hope in all times includes now. Tom Long, in his commentary on Matthew, offers a very interesting perspective. He writes, when tomorrow is just more of today and all labors of love seem poured into a bottomless pit of human suffering, indifference, and cynicism, then it is hard to march out the front door to be a disciple. In the face of the crushing needs of the world, the only way to preserve hope, the only way to maintain a willing sense of discipleship is to trust that at any moment we may be surprised by the sudden presence of God. At any moment. We often hear about the war in Afghanistan. And we hear people pessimistically saying, doesn't matter how long NATO forces are there, or Canadian, it's going to be all the same. Nothing's going to change. There's no hope for that country. This morning I opened the paper, The Citizen, and there was an intrusion of God. An intrusion of God into the maelstrom of that pessimism. On page 4 of the A section, the title of the article, The Heart of What Matters. The byline, an Afghan-Canadian doctor has opened Afghanistan's first heart clinic. An Afghan-Canadian doctor has taken a drastic cut in pay to return to his homeland and open Afghanistan's first heart clinic. He said, I feel that the nicest people in the world are Canadians, but I felt a duty to return to my homeland, said Asma Nifkil, the director of the Ali Abad Cardiac Research Center. I was not comfortable in Canada knowing how my people were suffering. He says, once upon a time, Afghanistan was such a nice place. There were no guns, no bombs, no explosions. Because of the war, everything is volatile. And that includes medicine. There's no law today in Afghanistan. People can do what they want. What I'm trying to do is bring a Canadian standard of medicine to Afghanistan. Hope in all times. Hope for all nations. Well, that doesn't cut it, some people may say. Cynics and skeptics will say, well, that's a small drop in the pan. You know, as frustrating as I sometimes feel it is, that just seems to be how it works. A seed at a time. A life turned. Hope, even as some of you or others you know are contemplating these holidays. Some of you with dread. Afraid of that long, enduring conflict in the family that will surface again. That unspoken reality about which no one wants
to speak. A small change in somebody's heart today because Christ has come and they are disposed differently in the celebrations of family as they gather. And that disposition and that attitude of forgiveness and that willingness to see beyond the history of strife. Small. But oh, what hope in those times. What hope in those times. Whether nation or your personal spiritual readiness for the coming of Christ. All of us, nation and individuals, are invited to be open to the hope. For this Christ comes again and again. Today, Christ comes, just as He promised, visits us in the joys of our experiences, calling us to tend to the sick and the lonely. Two nurses about their business in the hospital. One has been just so caught up in pain, is bereft of the perspective that this is something noble that he is doing. The other somehow, despite fatigue, is aware that through her hands, the administration of medicine, a listening ear, Christ has come. One left behind, one engaged in the work and aware of it. We're told that every morning, Barbara Brown Taylor says, when we wake up, decide to live the life that God has given you to live right now. Refuse to live yesterday over again. Resist the temptation to save your best self for tomorrow. Let the hope of the giftedness that God has said you are to the world reign and live now and be expressed now. The critic Hugh Kenner once wrote, "Whoever can give his people better stories than the ones they live by is like the priest in whose hands common bread and wine are capable of becoming that which feeds the very soul." We have a wonderful story. The story of a God who has not only created the world, but is invested in it, is involved, has come again and again through men and women who have proclaimed a return to the way, an openness to learn the path of God like Isaiah. And a God who has come in Jesus of Nazareth, who has indeed been to us the Christ and is the Christ. It is a story of tremendous hope. It is a story of life. Jesuit priest and peace activist Daniel Berrigan, he captures this tension indeed on looking around and seeing the reality and maybe wanting to throw our hands up or sustaining a long wrestling and struggle with some kind of pain or reality in our lives. Recognizing that tension in this time of Advent and offers an Advent credo that I would like to share with you. He writes in his book Testimony, "It is not true that creation and the human family are doomed to destruction and loss. This is true. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It is not true that we should accept inhumanity and discrimination, hunger and poverty, death and destruction and violence. This is true. Jesus said, I am come that they may have life and life more abundantly. It is not true that violence and hatred should have the last word and that war and destruction rule forever. This is true. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting, the Prince of Peace.
It is not true that we are simply victims of the powers of evil who seek to rule this world. This is true. To me is given authority in heaven and on earth, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. It is not true that we have to wait for those who are specially gifted, who are the prophets of the church, before we can be called peacemakers. This is true. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and all their sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men and women shall have dreams. It is not true that the liberation of humankind, of justice, of human dignity, of peace, are meant for this earth and for this history alone. This is true. The hour comes, and it is now, that the true worshipers shall worship God in spirit and in truth. In this season of Advent, there's much for us to infuse hope into. This coming week, on December 1st, World AIDS Day, what is the hope that we can communicate, both through funding and through coming alongside those in hospices or those who are suffering with the stigma of AIDS? What hope can we bring in these times? On December 6th, it will be that commemoration, the day set aside to remember that we must struggle against violence against women. What hope can we bring into the situation of domestic violence, such as we have witnessed over and over again in the statistics? And though not domestic, a violence against a young woman, Stacey Bonds, making viral trips around the internet in that particular video. What hope can we bring into our policing and our community responsibility and responses? There are ample opportunities for us to be the living expressions of hope in the everydayness of the ways in which God intrudes into our lives and the issues of our world. This is true. I am come that you may have life and life more abundant, says the Lord. Hope in all times. Amen.